Beautiful, and we are live. So welcome everybody to another episode of Awaken Your Purpose, answering the call of your purpose. And I'm very excited. I'm Luanne Marine of luannemarine.com, and I have the beautiful Gwenda Smith as my cherished guest today. So before we jump in with Gwenda, I just want to remind you this podcast is really created something that I wanted to share with people because I come into contact with a lot of inspirational people and I always ask the question, how did you get on purpose? What led you to there? And so I want to share with you these people who, you know, that you take away just something from the conversation here. So welcome everybody and welcome Gwenda.
Good morning, Luanne. Good morning, everyone. It's such a thrill to be here. Thank you.
Wonderful. I've been waiting for this one for a long time. So just quickly, Gwenda, I just want to say you are a spiritual mentor and a teacher healer, a seer, a divine angel channel, and you're extremely spiritual. And your life's work has been to really guide and mentor those to living a soulful life. And I really, really love that. So Gwenda, we're just going to jump in. What do you do right now?
I do all of what you have just said, actually, Luanne. Yes, I spend every day, I spend with people either on their own or online or in a group. I write, but everything is very much soulful. So all of my work around guiding people to be their own light of healing, guiding people home to their truth. I saw some interesting things about truth the other day, but guiding people home to their truth, meaning taking them back to the essence of who they are and not who they've been framed to be. And it's my absolute delight. Then there's healings. So people that come who can't seem to get past whatever it is that's troubling their physical self out into their energy bodies. And I love doing the healings. I've had the most amazing experiences, as have the people that have come seeking healing, channeling the angel guidance. So that's what takes up my days.
Yeah. So you're over in Perth, WA, Australia.
I certainly am. I'm over the rabbit proof fence. Yes.
And I love it because I've actually, I remember my first experience of seeing you, and it was in a group that we both belonged to, and I was just mesmerized. I was like, wow, just the way that you did speak truth, and I just booked in straight away. I knew that I had to do some work with you. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, so I took that action, and it was amazing. So thank you. Thank you for sharing all that beautifulness with us. So I want to ask a question. What led you to do this work today?
My immediate response, Luanne, is my soul, because I've always had, I can say from the age of four, the most bizarre experiences, but I've just had this knowing. So I've followed my path. And when family used to ask, what are you going to be when you grow up? Yes. And I don't know if people do that anymore with children these days, but our extended family always did. And from the age of eight, I would say, I want to be a nurse. So my dream was to be a nurse, and I used to have presents even before Mum said before I was eight. Family would buy me the little nurse's kit, so I would run around with a cloak and a thermometer and a little bag or a doctor's kit. It just seemed, Mum said, it was just something everyone seemed to think that they would buy for you. And so it was. I began as a nurse, and when I reflect now, everything that I've done has been around health, wellness, well-being, and, you know, it doesn't matter. When I came out of nursing, I continued this journey into the holistic side of wellness.
Yeah, wow. So that led you, that the picture that comes is Florence Nightingale. For some reason, you know, wasn't she? She was a nurse helping healing back then. Do you remember her? Have you heard about Florence Nightingale?
Losing connection here, Luanne.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm good. But did you hear what I said? I was saying, you remind me when you're talking about the nurse Florence Nightingale.
We're losing connection, Luanne.
Oh, are you there? I can see you fine.
No.
Oh. I'm just going to pause. Okay, so Gwenda, I want to just ask you a little bit more about the nursing. So, you know, it was what led you into this healing. What was the transition piece like? So how many years were you nursing for?
Well, goodness me. I started nursing when I was 16. I finished in my 30s. I did step out for a little while after having a car accident, because I went into theatre to become a scrub nurse in the theatres. The human body just intrigued me so much when I was on the wards, and I noticed a distinct difference between how people recovered from the same illness or the same surgery, the same accident, and they'd be on the same treatment, they'd been on the same medication, and yet every person would recover differently. And I noticed even from a emotional mental stand, they would be different. And that got me thinking, and I was really curious about it. And then I wanted to know more about what went on inside the body. So there was an opportunity to become a theatre scrub nurse specialist, and I was there for that. And I absolutely loved it. Oh, it was just awesome experience. Brilliant. I mean, I love maternity, seeing new life arrive into the world, but theatre and then what could be done, you know, was just incredible. But you're right, there was a lady, and I try really hard not to tear up today, because it still impacts me even all these years on. So I was only still a very young nurse, and she came to theatre, so this is in the 70s, and she was going to have an abdominal tumour removed, which then was very rare. It's not now, sadly. But we only got down to what's called the omentum, and it's a beautiful shield that protects your inner organs, and it was all grey and lumpy. And it's not normally like that. It's usually really pretty, if you can imagine. Most people go, So... yeah, if you can imagine the insides. And the surgeon said, suture up. And as I handed him the suture and everything, I was sort of quizzical, and he saw the quizzical look on my face. You never questioned a surgeon ever. And he said, well, nurse, you can see the same thing as I. This lady has 14 days to live. And I was just blown away. My head was spinning. In my mind, as I was doing the suturing, you know, part with him, thinking, where did he get that from? With 14 days, why not 30? Why not 21? Why 14? And then he went on to say that I was to go with him to give her the news. Now, that was not ever, 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 and it still is not the protocol.
Exactly.
So when I look back now, I think how divinely orchestrated the whole thing was, just incredible. I went with him. He wanted the ward to let us know when she was awake enough to be spoken to, which means if you've ever had an anaesthetic, you're really, really groggy. You can't really open your eyes properly. So she wasn't what we would rate as conscious, not conscious in the spiritual sense, awake. Anyway, on the way there, he said that I was to hold her hand, and while he gave her the news, wow. And I had so much respect for this surgeon, and to this day I still do. He was brilliant. But I was so like, wow, what's going on here? And when we got to her and he spoke to her, she knew right away who he was, and she started to smile, but she was trouble opening her eyes. And he placed his hand over her heart, and the minute that he did that, she was trying to force herself to be awake. She just innately knew that there was something amiss. I took her hand and introduced myself, and now she was frowning. And he said to her that she was to go home as soon as she was awake. Now she was really trying to get awake, and she was to be home for 8 days. There was another timeline, 8 days. And he said to her, in that 8 days, enjoy your time at home, enjoy your family. You have 14 days to live. And we walked away and left her
to do crying.
And both myself and the surgeon were actually, while I was crying, the surgeon was teared up. He was such a lovely man. He's passed now. And it was an incredible, obviously it still affects me. I can still see her. But on the eighth day, I was on the ward, because if our theatre was closed or our list was finished, we were sent to the wards. And because I was a senior scrub, I was most often sent to the surgical ward because I knew what had taken place with those patients. And she came in to be admitted, and I admitted her to the ward. So here's another, you know, coincidence or what. And she was, as he said, she was really sick. So she didn't recognise me, which I think I'm thankful for. And Luann, I laid her out on the 14th day, and it just changed my life.
Yeah.
And from that day, I vowed and declared as I was laying her out that I would go on a path of understanding and helping people.
Wow. And did you stay in nursing for much longer after that, or was that the turning point where you went, I'm just getting such goosebumps you sharing that, and thank you, Glenda. Was that when you went, there's something else now, I need to go?
No, I didn't. I needed to learn more.
Yes.
I needed to understand more. They say if you're saying you need, you ought, you must, you should, then you're not doing the right thing. I'm afraid I don't agree with that. I needed to stay nursing. I loved it. I loved my nursing. I loved being a nurse. We were very different then, and my commitment to being a nurse was everything my heart was about. And I felt, I don't know, I just felt in myself there was so much more to experience, not knowing, even though I'd made that vow that I was going to find out more about this business of sickness, illness, disease, you know, what goes on. I didn't know what that was going to unfold into, and just how much it was bringing forward the light of the divine healing through me and the work that I would do. But of course, as I said, it's all orchestrated, and it was known from above, way beyond my conscious mind. Yeah. So I stayed quite a number of years, and I moved to Perth to get more experience. Well, I thought I would get more experience in the theatres. It was quite different, and I didn't actually have as much excitement, but I did, and I will always remember this person. AIDS came into being while I was in Perth, just before I came up, actually. And I'd been in a theatre, and there was a whole lot of hubbub outside the theatre door, a lot of noise. There was shouting, there was anger and things. And the surgeons, the anaesthetists, no, we all looked at each other, because that's just not what you hear in the theatre area. And I unscrubbed and went out to see what was going on. And it was actually nurses, other theatre nurses and assistants, standing over the top of a patient arguing and being really disrespectful that none of them were going to scrub or assist him as they looked at him. And they were saying this over the top of this patient because he had HIV.
Wow.
And I walked up to them, and I was not a senior nurse at that hospital. And I walked up to them and said, I would ask you all to leave. And as I did that, one of the anaesthetists came out, and he was furious with them, and he ordered them to the change rooms. And I put my hand on this young man who was in tears, and I said to him, I will be your scrub. I will be your scrub nurse. And the anaesthetist said, thank you, nurse. He was very
anaesthetist. Oh, my goodness.
So I was his scrub, and I had no fear, no fear at all. It was an honour to be his scrub nurse for his surgery. And then, a couple of months later it would have been, I got called out of theatre and asked if I would escort this patient down to an MRI. And I thought it was a bit odd, but I said, yeah, sure. So I came out and it was the young man. And I walked up to him and put my hand on him and said, well, hello. And before I could say anything more, he said, I know who you are. Now, in the time of me being his scrub nurse and him coming back, he'd gone blind because of the HIV. So he couldn't see me. But when I put my hand on him and said hello, he said, I know who you are. I'm so glad you're here today. So I escorted him and we had laughs and chats, and I just had my hand on his upper shoulder on the way down for the MRI. And I had to take the orderly aside at one point on our trip down because the orderly was being quite disrespectful and not being professional at all, out of his fear of being around this man with HIV. I've seen the wonderful side of humans and I've seen the ugly side of humans in nursing. But those two patients, left some big marks. I mean, there's lots of stories I have. I could write.
I bet. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, as I'm listening to you, it's quite, I can feel it and just the anger that's coming up in me when I feel, you know, people disrespecting others and they didn't know, but come on, like, and at least, you know, anyway, I'm just going to move on from there.
Well, they had a vow, Luann. They take a vow to maintain and sustain life to the best of their abilities.
Yes.
And they were supposed to be the ultimate of carers as nurses. So I was really disgusted with their behaviour.
I bet. It's so interesting because my mum was a scrub nurse, exactly like you. Yeah.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah. So I remember, and I was fascinated with the story she would come and just share, and she loved it as well. And she even went to Saudi Arabia and worked there and worked on little babies and went to Russia just as the, you know, so my hat goes off to you. What a calling. So I want to know, so they kind of led you to where you are today, but what do you believe is your purpose?
I believe now my purpose is the waymaker of divine light of healing.
Wow. Just like that. And then so how did you, you know, I always say I love it. It's so beautiful, but I always feel like we hear we get these nudges and, you know, this, take this path, this is the, you know, this is your purpose. But how did you answer the call of what you just said? So, you know, it was showing.
I don't know that I've I suppose I have answered it, but it's been more like I always have listened, like you say, you hear. I've always listened to that call of my heart or a direction of let's go here, always. And funnily enough, even when I came out of nursing because of injuries from a car accident, and then when I could work again, I ended up being in a women's magazine here in Perth. But I found that all the people I went to either talk to them about their business or maybe even interview a woman that was going into business, it always ended up coming around to wellness. And I found myself in a place of helping them, you know, even if they were an advertiser. So when I look back, I've gone, how funny. I thought I was stepping out of nursing, but I was still in wellness.
Yeah.
So all the way along, everything has ended up that way, and also my abilities to be able to naturally connect with angels and with guides, with spirit, which has been my whole life. That too has come to the fore in different ways in each of the jobs I've done. So for me, it's been like a lotus flower just unfolding. And as I was saying to you at the beginning, spirit had me up till 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday this week with some exciting new work that they want me to launch into. So it just continues to evolve.
And you know, I always think it's one thing to listen, it's one thing to act, and so okay, you're 3 o'clock in the morning, okay, let's do that. But it, to me, when you said that, it's like, well, you know, there's joy in that too. Yes, the body's a bit tired but in the morning. But why do you think it's so important for people to do their purpose work?
Well, you were granted your contract of life here, and in that contract is your purpose. So for me, if I don't follow my purpose and follow all that feels where I'm meant to be going from my heart and the guidance that I receive, then I don't feel I'm respecting that privilege of life here, but also I'm not fulfilling and honouring my soul. And that's really important to me.
Yeah, I love that. So knowing your purpose is one thing, and I always feel our purpose is lifelong. We get to express it in different ways. You know, you like you did it in the nursing, and now there's a different expression of that. But to do that work, we have to do work on ourselves, like some kind of work on ourselves. So what's one, and I know you've probably got so many things that you've done, but what's one thing, or what do you think is important to do with ourselves so we can express our purpose?
Oh, that is just an awesome question, Luann. You really have to own you. You know, one of my favorite talks I present is walking in your own shoes. Whose shoes are you walking in? Mm-hmm. So it's really important to own who you are and be happy to own who you are.
Yeah. And so what, I love that. But to get to that place of owning who you are, what's one thing that you did? You know, we can say, well, you have to own it, but then people are like, well, how do I do that? Like, you know, is it knowing your values, or is it going on a meditation tour? I don't know. But what is one thing, you know, that you could share? I need to own myself. Okay, start here.
I'm going to roll that right back, because going on a meditation tour, it's not going to lead you to own yourself. It is a tool. It's an opportunity to learn where you're not owning yourself. And personal values, they are a big one for me. They are actually the foundation in all of my teaching, all of my mentor, because if you don't know, which I've found so many people don't have any clue of their personal values, or they can rattle off words, but then when I ask them to express how they're living them every day, it's like, oops, we're not going any further. They can't express how they're living them every day. So going right back, how do you know to own yourself? Well, you better know who you are, so you better have a really close relationship with yourself. And that means really being in your truth. So being prepared to walk away from friendships, walk away from work environments, walk away from toxic conversations. Don't just keep sitting there and nodding your head and participating. Know when you're uncomfortable, you are not owning yourself. So take action on that. Move away. Do things that change it. If you feel that you're eating a meal and you are feeling this is no good for me, or you're griping about carrying excess weight or having pain in your knees, you're not owning you. You know while you're eating that it's not what your body needs, so why continue eating it? So I say own yourself by being honest with yourself. Mm. Own yourself by being true to what is not working for you. Always begin here, and begin with how you're reacting in conversations, how you're reacting to the daily things, the daily grind. You know, if you are really unhappy in the mornings, then you need to stop and ask yourself, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. So you've really got to come home to you and begin with very simple questions to yourself. Where am I in all of this? Where am I? Mm-hmm. And then take action. Small actions, no great big plans, no great big things, just little things to be more aware and start from there.
Yeah, and it's the little steps, you know. Sometimes we think, right, I'm just, you know, we get to that point, we're so pissed off with ourselves, right, or the situation we're in, and we're like, right, I'm going to change it, and we try to change 50 things in one day, and then the next day it's like, oh, that's too much, right? So I love what you said, but it's also the ownership, it's being responsible. You know, you said, you're with a partner or with a friend, and they just keep up coming with the same story, and it's like, are you really taking ownership? Are you owning, you know, this is your responsibility to change? It's no one else's. There's plenty of people out there to help you. Go to Gwenda, you know, go to wherever. But yeah, I love that, Gwenda. Thank you. So can you give us just an example? Like, I want to kind of showcase how you work with somebody. And I know you do so many things, but just what's a favorite person you've worked with, and why, you know, what was the outcome of them working with you, and why were they your favorite?
Oh, that's a hot question, Luann. The clients that continue on, and I'm feel very sure that this would be the same for you. There are clients that what's that poem, you know, season, rhyme and a reason. So our clients are the same. They pop in, they pop out, they might stay, they might not. So the one who was two actually that really, really come to mind, one's name is Joel. And Joel has been to me over many years, initially for readings or channel guidance, then healing. And then he sent me a message one day that sat me on my butt, and he sends this message and he said, Gwenda, I've got a question to ask you, and I hope it doesn't make you uncomfortable, but I would like you to be my spiritual mentor. Mm-hmm. And I had not actually been mentoring people one-on-one at that point, and I hadn't really been doing spiritual mentoring as such, because lack of understanding of it on behalf of people and what's required. Mm-hmm. So to receive this request was like, wow. And I just felt so humbled to have been chosen, because I knew that Joel had been going to all sorts of different ceremonies, all sorts of different events, mm-hmm. meeting all sorts of different people in what you might call the spiritual community, mm-hmm. You know, and online at different things. So I was so honoured to receive that. And he has been an amazing student. Mm-hmm. I call him the student of life. And he's amazing because he's discerning. He takes responsibility, he takes action, and the change is in him. His background and what he presented with in this life versus the truth of his soul was really, really different. And every corner he's turned it with courage, determination, and he's just stayed true to his calling, to his soul calling. And it's been wonderful watching him evolve, absolutely wonderful. It hasn't been an easy path for him by any means. And then there's a gorgeous young woman by the name of Hayley, and Hayley has been amazing to work with, also very discerning, very questioning. She's a bit like the millennials. Not sure if she is a millennial, but when she first came, she was very strategy focused, very strategic. Right. And things.
Yeah, kind of sounds like in the mid, isn't it? Right.
And there had to be lots of tick boxes and things. Yes. And, mm-hmm. and you know what? I had the greatest of time of blowing those boxes apart.
As only you can do, I'm sure. I love it.
and now to see Hayley step into her truth and see her blossoming in the way that she is, again, like Joel, she's been incredible. And her connection to her true self and now following that path and the way it's changed her. She's recently put herself in a little bit of a difficult spot, which has been very interesting observing as her mentor and helping. So those two really stand out because of their dedication and their commitment. These are two things that are really necessary to work with me.
Yeah, I always feel that with you, but it also brings up the word mentor as well. And I feel like I have had many mentors and different mentors along the way, like health mentors, business mentors, you know, all that kind of spiritual mentors as well. But I always find you it's great to have somebody just to reflect back to you, you know, just to be that sounding board and kind of kick your butt sometimes if you need it. I give full responsibility to all my mentors, kick my butt, because if I'm spinning, I don't want to do that anymore, right? And sometimes it's painful. I'm like, oh, I have to turn up again today. She's going to kick my butt. But I get through it. But they do it gently as well, you know. So, and also when I was doing mentoring at the beginning, like some clients would really test me, but I knew that's where I had to grow. I was like, oh, God, you know, I'd give too much and it's like no boundaries and that kind of thing. It's like, okay, yeah. you grow with that. So, and to me, was it Joel you said at the beginning? Yeah. He called you. Like he's like, can you be my spiritual mentor? I love that. That's beautiful. Yeah. So thank you.
Hayley will tell you that you don't get away with anything with me. And she says that this is one of the things she just loves about working with me, and that I'm brutally honest and very direct. I just don't mince my words. I don't fluff it up. There's no point. I don't see that is helpful. So I guess you need to be a little bit on the, what's the right word? You'd want to be a little bit on the courageous side.
Mm.
You know, if you're oversensitive, I'm probably not your person.
Yeah, that is, I always see that on the website, like who this work is for, who it's not for, and that pretty much separates them, right? So I seem to see things in sales pages now. I'm like, because I'm a business mentor, so like I'm looking, well, okay, you hit all these points. It's weird. I know, it's weird. Anyway, so I would like to know, so where can we find you? And we're going to put the links below. So if people want to do work with you and find out all about you, and if you have, you know, where we can opt in to get your newsletters and things like that, where's the best place?
The best place for that, Luann, is the website, which is healwithgwenda.com. That's heal, H-E-A-L, with Gwenda.com. And if you go to the website, not if, when you go to the website, I have got my ebook for you as a gift, and it is Make This Your Year of Power. And I offer in that the steps that you can take to begin your path of really coming home to you.
I love that. Thank you so much. We could talk for hours. I have to get you back. So can you just, I like to leave it light or opened or authentic. I don't know what this is, but I always like to end on, tell us something that not many people know about you.
Oh, let me look in that little black box. That's where I keep all those treasures. I have a gold box and I have a black box. So this though should probably be in the gold box. I was the first girl to be permitted to work on the milk round in Western Australia. It is my understanding that there actually wasn't any girls working on the milk rounds around Australia at that time. Wow. I was also in the very first female soccer team, so I like to do these first things. But the milk round was male-dominated. Mm-hmm. When I asked my dad, I said, I want to work on the milk round. He goes, oh, love, you can't. That's the boys. And I said, sorry, what? I want to work on the milk round, Dad. So I did, and the boys gave me hell. They reckoned I wouldn't be able to carry as many bottles as them, because back then they were bottles of glass bottles.
Yes, I remember.
And we had to carry up to 8 in our hands at a time, and they reckoned I wouldn't be able to do it. And then they'd say I wouldn't be able to jump on and off the back of the ute, so I'd slow everything down. Well, no, I did not. So.
Wow, I love that. I remember the days of the milk round, you know, back in New Zealand. But I actually, it's funny because I actually had a friend and her father owned it. So she was the only girl on her milk round because her dad owned the milk round. But I remember those days. So thank you so, so much, Gwenda. It's just been a privilege to interview you and to hear your wisdom and to feel everything. I'm like, oh, my goodness, your stories are amazing. And everybody who's watching, go and check her out at healingwithgwenda.com. And until our next interview, thank you very much, Gwenda.
Thank you, Luann, very much.
Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.